COVID combat fatigue. That was the headline in last Wednesday's New York Times, detailing a healthcare system stretched thin by a pandemic and healthcare workers struggling to care for their patients. On Friday, the Times ran the headline COVID overload and started with the story of Tracy Fine watching the emergency room inside Madison's University Hospital fill up with COVID-19 patients while she waited for help on a gurney in a hallway for 13 hours. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent today. In this hour, we focus our attention on the state's healthcare workers, their experiences this year, and their expectations about what's next for Wisconsin. If you can provide some helpful perspective on how our healthcare is coping with COVID-19, I hope you'll share this hour at 1-800-642-1234 or email us ideas@wpr.org. Heather Shimmers is our guest this morning, the chief nursing officer for Ascension Wisconsin, leading more than 6,000 nursing professionals at 24 hospital campuses and more than 100 clinics across the state. Heather, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being with us. Our other guest is Sharla Bainan. She is the COO, Chief Operating Officer for Bellin Health in Green Bay, also a member of the Incident Command Team with Bellin Health. Sharla, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Lee. It's great to be here this morning.
I want to start with you and the Bellin Healthcare System and what you're seeing this morning. What are hospitals in the region seeing as far as COVID-19 patients right now?
Yeah, I think we continue to see really a steady influx of patients with COVID-19 disease. We've experienced, I think, over the past week and a half, a slight decline, but I think we're very, very cautiously optimistic when we see those numbers, knowing that we just went through a holiday this past week. We anticipate and are prepared for that surge that we've experienced over the past couple of months to continue.
Bellin Healthcare is preparing for a surge. Heather, at Ascension Wisconsin, with hospitals all across the state, tell us what you're seeing right now.
Yeah, I would agree with everything that was just stated. We are experiencing continual high numbers of our COVID positive patients. Hot off the press this morning, we just finished our incident command call this morning as a state system. We have about 285 COVID positive patients in our facilities, 73 of those in our ICUs. Our inpatient census remains incredibly high throughout all of our facilities. And I agree, as we prepare for the next probably 30 days, as we look towards this holiday season, we are continually preparing and kind of bracing ourselves for what's to come.
Bracing ourselves for the holiday season. Heather, what's your ICU bed status right now at Ascension?
We've got 73 admitted patients in our ICUs as we stand this morning, 24 of additional patients that are people under investigation, so don't have positive results on those back yet. We do have we have capacity in our ICU beds. However, it's tight, and the demand on those beds and the staffing to take care of those patients in the bed is really, really a stress for us at this point.
Charlotte, just a few weeks ago, we heard that according to the state, there were only 4 ICU beds that were available in all of the Fox Valley. What are you seeing this morning?
Yeah, we continue to see a percentage of COVID ICU patients in our ICU beds. I think the challenge is we have other patients that are in for other very acute critical illness, and that also takes capacity in our ICUs. So it's trying to balance that and be able to provide care for everyone, and that's what really creates, I think, some stress on the system. So that's where we continually evaluate, you know, where are we at with our COVID capacity and where's our usual capacity at across all of our departments in the hospital.
Well, Heather, I'll turn to you here. Regarding Milwaukee County, which has seen more than 65,000 COVID-19 cases this year, what has capacity looked like there, and how does that compare to the rest of the state?
Yeah, the Milwaukee market is definitely in the midst of a surge, just like many other parts in the state. We are continually it's the thing we've learned most about COVID, I will tell you, is it is a minute-by-minute disease. The status changes at any given day, and as the disease progresses in certain people, you know, it could be a patient that was in our med-surg unit for a week, and symptoms progress, and they immediately would need to be transferred to an ICU. So it's kind of a chess game that we are playing every single day, just making sure that we have a bed available to transfer to that higher level acuity as it arises. And that is a very typical progression of the disease right now.
I think we've all seen stories by now of folks who are looking to be released from the hospital at one point of the day and finding themselves having to be intubated as a result of COVID-19 later on in the day. So it's fast and it seems irregular too, right? Is there a rhythm to this pandemic? It just seems like everybody gets it a little bit differently if they get it. Is that accurate?
I will tell you that is absolutely accurate. There is no defined care plan for every single patient that comes in with COVID. The disease affects people very individually. You've heard about the signs and symptoms can vary from GI issues to respiratory issues to taste and smell. And, you know, the symptoms are all over the place. So it's very individualized. Your care plans and your treatments have to be very unique for each individual person.
That's Heather Shimmers with us. She's the Chief Nursing Officer for Ascension Wisconsin. Also joining us, Charlotte Bain, and the Chief Operating Officer for Bellin Health in Green Bay. And Charlotte, when someone comes in with symptoms of the coronavirus, walk us through the steps that you take to get them the treatment that they need and how you're able to protect our healthcare workers at the same time.
Absolutely. You know, these patients tend to come to us through the emergency department. So it's critical that we have the protective equipment or the PPE available to all of our staff in the emergency department. Once we know, you know, the reason for them presenting to the emergency department, they are very carefully transitioned, I would say very efficiently through our system to the appropriate COVID unit. When we've really created kind of a step-by-step plan and workflow to bring those patients through the hospital safely, in keeping all of our other patients safe and our staff safe. So it does take a lot of resource. It takes a lot of staff time, and it demands a lot of equipment. So that is the process, and there's a lot of monitoring and equipment that needs to be available to us, too, right off the bat, so we can monitor their status. As Heather indicated, their status can change quite quickly, so being able to monitor them closely through that process is imperative.
Heather, what is the testing for staff at Ascension like? How do you decide who gets tested and when?
Testing is a complex issue in itself and one we take very, very seriously. So for our associates, we do every single person that walks into our facility, both our associates and our visitors and patients, they all need to be screened. So we just updated to the 11 new screening questions, monitoring all the signs and symptoms that are potential with COVID. And if you answer yes as an associate to any one of those questions, you would get referred right over to our associate health and are not allowed to come to work at that point. And then we determine the state of testing after that. So if you've been exposed or you're experienced symptoms, we do test our associates and we go from there. So all positive associates are not allowed to work, which has, you can imagine, caused another huge strain on our healthcare systems.
Charlotte Bannon, are we seeing the same or something similar at Bellin Health?
Yes, very similar process there. And you know, it doesn't even matter it does matter if they're positive. Obviously, they're not going to work. But if they've had an exposure and have yet to test positive, that also keeps our staff home. So it is a strain on the system, and it really challenges us to come up with a number of creative solutions to meet the staffing demands right now in the hospital setting and across the healthcare system.
A strain on the system also means a strain on those who are working in the system. And that's what we're talking about this hour with Charlotte Bannon and Heather Shimmers, discussing how the healthcare workers across our state are handling the uptick in COVID cases and what they expect next. 1-800-642-1234 is the number to the morning show. We will continue with this conversation with our guests and you. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Do you think all the positive news about a possible vaccine may have changed the way we behaved over the Thanksgiving weekend? Or maybe it was the relatively mild November weather. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. The overall statistical trends in Wisconsin have been improving as of late, according to Wisconsin's Department of Health Services. But that's following the state's worst outbreaks yet and the most national travel we've seen since March. So what does this mean for our healthcare system's ability to maintain care? And who's taking care of our healthcare workers? 1-800-642-1234 is the number, or email ideas at WPR.org. From Ascension, Wisconsin, we have Heather Schimmer. She's the chief nursing officer for Ascension, Wisconsin, and leads more than 6,000 nurses across the state. Also, Charlotte Bainan joining us, the chief operating officer for Bellin Health in Green Bay, also a member of the incident command team, which just got done with their morning meeting. And Charlotte is talking about how staff was testing for COVID. Back in September, there were 150 Bellin healthcare workers that were out sick and quarantining due to exposure to COVID-19. Where do those numbers stand today?
Yeah, we are seeing still very similar numbers from a quarantine perspective, and those fluctuate day to day, just like our COVID admissions do. So, you know, we will go anywhere from, you know, getting down to near 100 to well over 200. So, it is a day-to-day look, and it's a continuous process for our employee health team to evaluate who can be working and who really needs to be quarantined. From that standpoint, too, you know, the majority of what we see from a needing to quarantine perspective is that the majority of those exposures are happening outside of the healthcare setting. They're happening in the community. So it just goes to show you how significant the spread is in the communities across the state.
Heather, how often are nurses at Ascension, Wisconsin getting sick with COVID-19 and having to quarantine, and what does that mean for staffing?
Yeah, so I would say, like all health systems across the state of Wisconsin right now, we have experienced significant increases in the number of staff that are unable to work, both due to community exposure, COVID-19 positive testing. You know, they've got family members that are have COVID-19. Children, you know, many of our staff are parents and are having to deal with exposure from their children, perhaps going to school or, you know, frankly, at this point, just going to the grocery store. So at any given point, this is another one of those issues, as I explained prior, you know, it's a minute-to-minute disease with our patients. This also is a minute-to-minute situation as we evaluate staffing. People don't just get sick at the start of their shift. They may have symptoms that present halfway through, so we are continually monitoring. We can vary very much the same as what you heard with Bellin. We're a large health system, so at any given time, there are hundreds of our frontline staff that are out on quarantine due to either exposure or positive testing with COVID-19.
So how do you continue to care for people when you've got so many people out?
Yes, that is one of the things I will tell you I am probably the most proud of as we have ventured through this for the last 8, going on 9 months. The level of creativity and figuring out our resources. You know, one of the things I think we're most fortunate for being part of a large health system, a national health system, is our ability to share resources, not only equipment, but our human capital. And we have been very blessed throughout these 8 months. We have shared staff from Wisconsin to other markets, and other markets have shared with us. We have got a fairly robust float pool that we've developed in the state of Wisconsin throughout Ascension. So we have associates that we can move to the greatest need when that time occurs. And we also have contracted very, very robustly with outside agencies. Certainly not our preference on how to staff our facilities, but the need is there. And we have well over 100 agency contracted nurses right now in our facilities. But it is not enough. And we are continually every day evaluating our staffing and making sure that we are providing the most safe and effective care for our patients.
We're talking to Heather Schimmers, the Chief Nursing Officer for Ascension, Wisconsin, and Charlotte Bainan, the Chief Operating Officer for Bellin Health in Green Bay. And if you are in the healthcare industry, we'd love to know what it's been like through your eyes, walking in your shoes these last 8 months, and what you see or expect next at 1-800-642-1234, where Jenny in Williams Bay is standing by. Jenny, you're on the Ideas Network. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'm doing contact tracing as a temporary job right now. And I talk to people directly who I have to order in isolation or recommend that their family quarantine because one person in the family is positive. And they get really worried, especially healthcare workers, about how they're getting paid while they stay home or if they have enough PTO, and sometimes they are required to take their own PTO. So I'm wondering what kind of plan Ascension has, but also, you know, if they're seeing any issues in healthcare and, you know, statewide. And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jenny. Who wants to start?
Yeah, I can start.
Heather?
This is Heather. Yeah, so absolutely, Jenny, I appreciate the work that you're doing, and I am sure that is a full-time job in itself, contact tracing. I'll tell you, as we have ventured through this, the care that we have provided for our associates, I think, has been second to none. However, it's difficult, and you are right. When you are off for an extended period of time, potentially having to use your short-term disability or your own saved vacation time to pay your bills, that is a stressor on our staff as well. We have, multiple different support plans. We've got amazing foundations throughout Ascension who have provided resources for our associates to help pay their bills. But it's very real, and it's very real life for the frontline care worker, just as it is for many people in other organizations that are experiencing a loss of work. The financial implication has been fairly disastrous for them. So yes, we are continually evaluating and working as hard as we can to make sure that we're caring for our associates as they're off. But it is complex with the level of numbers that we're seeing.
And Charlotte, Benin is in the Fox Valley, and it doesn't have a national pool to pull from. So how are you dealing with these staffing shortages, and what has Bell and Health been able to do to make sure that the healthcare continues to be at the top notch?
Yes, it's a challenge because we aren't part of a larger system, you know, that's either throughout the state or national, but we have done some very creative things to really support our staff along with be able to meet their needs across the system. We've redeployed over 250 staff members, either to work at a testing site, help in the hospital, assist in our home health areas, or assist in skilled nursing. And from that standpoint, with redeployment, we've had former staff that have come out of retirement to join us and help through the pandemic. We've also have places where the demand for work has decreased due to the COVID-19 pandemic, and those folks are taking on new responsibilities and are being trained in new roles. We also, like Ascension, are using travelers or agency staff in our nursing staff areas and respiratory care. I'd also like to just respond, too, to the caller's question and, again, really do appreciate the contact tracing help. It's so critical in supporting our communities. But we also have had the opportunity through our foundation to provide support to our workforce through an employee assistance fund. We have such a generous organization and folks who work here, and that's really helped people through this time and challenge when their hours potentially have decreased due to quarantine or just due to decreased work. So lots of things to consider, and it's a continuous process as we support the workforce.
Heather Shimmers, as you speak to other nurses in Ascension, Wisconsin, tell us what they tell you.
You know, I had a wonderful conversation with a peer of mine in our system just this past week. And, you know, I think you all remember when this all began and our healthcare frontline workers were touted as the heroes of this pandemic. And I think as you think about what we call our, you know, superheroes, like Superman and Batman and all of those iconic mm-hmm. features, when you think about the work they did, they put their cape on to handle an incident, and they handle the incident, and then they get to come back and take their cape off and go about being Clark Kent or Bruce Wayne in their normal everyday life, right? Right now, when you think about these frontline care workers, they're not taking their capes off. They come in for a scheduled 8-hour shift, and because of all the things we've already talked about with staff falling ill or our census increasing drastically in a matter of 4 hours, they don't get to go home. They don't get to take that cape off. And by cape, I'm referring to the PPE that we've talked about. So N95s that are uncomfortable to wear for a long period of time, the amount of PPE that you need to layer to stay safe as you enter a COVID positive room. I think that's what I'm hearing the most of is You know, we know our communities are tired, but so are we. And the frontline staff is reaching a point where they are stressed and they are very, very exhausted. They are working long hours. They're covering for their peers because that's what we do in healthcare. We don't get to leave when the work is still there that needs to be done. So, you know, they're tired. They're working really, really hard. We are called to serve, but this is not what we signed up for. I've heard many, many a time the comment that, well, people that work in healthcare, this is what you signed up to do. This is very different. I've been in healthcare for 25 years, and this is unlike anything any of us that are currently working have seen in our lifetime.
We can all relate to that, Heather. We got to take a break here for news, but we will continue throughout the rest of the hour. And if you've got stories, if you are a nurse and you have something to see, I've seen something that was worth sharing with us, please, by all means, 1-800-642-1234. Our guest, Heather Shimmers, with us from Ascension, Wisconsin, Charlotte Bainan from Bellin Health, and our conversation continues with our healthcare workers and what they're going through right now and what they can expect next. Here on The Morning Show, I'm Lee Rayburn. This is the Ideas Network. Well, I suppose our holiday season is now officially underway, and there's growing optimism that vaccines may make this the only one we'll ever have to endure during this pandemic. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer-Kent. And these holidays, this year, guarantee even greater hardships for our healthcare workers and their families. They're the ones who will continue to shoulder the burdens of treating this coronavirus until it can be contained. So how heavy does that feel, this time of year especially? This year, you tell me. 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Our guests are Heather Shimmers, the Chief Nursing Officer for Ascension, Wisconsin, and Charlotte Bainan, the Chief Operating Officer for Bellin Health in Green Bay. And Heather, back in October, it was announced that Ascension had suspended in-person visitation due to the rise in COVID cases. Is that ban still in effect?
That ban is still in effect. Of course, we take every single situation on a case-by-case situation, and we make exceptions when it's needed. But for the safety of our patients and for our associates, we are trying to restrict as much outside traffic through our facilities as possible, just knowing that the spread is so difficult to contain.
So how has that ban affected the work of our nurses and healthcare staff?
Well, I love the intro. As you said, our healthcare workers are shouldering a lot of the responsibility as it pertains to the ill in our facilities. And they also have stepped up as family for many of these people that are struggling with COVID diagnosis in our hospitals. So, yes, it's difficult. You know, we're well over 3,000 deaths in our state from COVID. Many of those folks are dying in our hospitals. That's exhausting work. That's very emotionally difficult for our staff in such a short period of time to see very, very high death numbers like that.
Heather, when you say they're acting as a family, are they there for the end of life? Are they there for comfort at the end?
They absolutely are. They are the ones that are there that are holding hands. We, of course, make exceptions for families to come in at end of life if the need is there and will help through the situation. But the nurses are the ones that are there 24/7 holding the hands and making sure that people are passing comfortably.
That's a lot of grief that somebody has to go through.
You're exactly right. And it's difficult for our nurses to pour from an empty cup. And that's what we're starting to see. So well-being for our nursing staff is incredibly important right now.
And with the staffing shortages, I don't even know how you begin to handle that. How do you care for your healthcare workers?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. And this is a sprint that is now turned into a very long marathon. And you know, if you're anything like me, you can't run a marathon. So there you go. But here's what we're doing. We are continually being creative in coming up with different ways to make sure that we are meeting the needs of our frontline associates and helping to fill their cups back up. Ascension, Wisconsin, I'm really impressed. We have just brought forward a MyCare site that really helps deal with spiritual, emotional, all of the things that our frontline staff are saying that they need and they need some help coping with. We've also built some respite lounges in every single one of our acute care facilities across the state. This is a safe place where our clinical staff can go. They can take their PPE off in a safe environment. They can put their feet up. They can access the resources that we have to help to, you know, maybe do some meditation, to call and pray with some of our spiritual care staff, or frankly, just use their phone and FaceTime with their families or help their kids through virtual school. We also realize that they're not getting enough food during the day. So we're providing nourishment for this staff to come down and grab something at no cost to them, to be able to just make sure that their bellies are filled and fueling up for what they're facing up on the floors.
Charlotte Bannon, as CEO, COO for Bell and Health, are your healthcare frontline workers, are they performing roles as family members? Are they there at the end of life as well?
Yeah, they most definitely are there at end of life. Again, we are doing our best, too, to bring families in at that point of time. But they are definitely there throughout the majority of that. We've also looked at this as an opportunity to say, how do we provide some extra support to our nursing staff and our patients during this time? And we created a role called Angels within our system, and they're not necessarily a clinical resource, but they are a support resource that can be deployed to work with our patients and create that connection back to their family. So they're really helping. How do we connect on a regular basis virtually with family to provide that ongoing support? And that in turn then takes a little bit of the demand off the nursing staff to be that one, because you can imagine in and out of those spaces with PPE on at all times of the day, the work demand on them is really, really significant. The other thing we did very early on in the pandemic was mobilized our mental health resources throughout the health system. And really looked at what's our platform for emotional health of our staff. So quickly we started providing regular debriefs with our staff. We've provided individual and group sessions with our mental health experts. We continue to do that. And we've, you know, there's always a silver lining, I think, related to any crisis or challenge that you face. And we've really said we can create even a better infrastructure ongoing post now and post-pandemic to better support our workforce with peer support and other emotional support resources.
Charlotte, you mentioned earlier you'd just gotten off a call with the incident command team with Bell and Health. What are these calls like? How is organizing behind the scenes making it easier to deal with this pandemic and prepare us for the potential of a vaccine to deal with this pandemic?
Yeah, absolutely. We meet every morning, and that is, you know, usually pretty early, quick, rapid-fire, 30-minute call with our incident command team. And we really start out looking at our statistics. We look at our current capacity. We then look, and we don't just look at that in the hospital. We're looking at that really across the whole system to understand what's going on, because while there's great impact to the hospital, there's also impact out in the community and to our home health agencies and such, as they're supporting those that then head home post a COVID admission or a visit to the emergency department. So we do that. Along with, we have planning teams around testing and obviously the soon-to-be vaccination program to prepare, and we get regular updates through that process as well at Incident Command. We also have a robust communication plan, so we end that call with what's important to communicate to our employees this week, today, this hour. So that's really important, and also I think provides connection and importance of the work we're doing to the frontline staff to really hear about what's going on throughout the system and what impact are they having each day, and what recognition, you know, is coming in. And that's another way to kind of continue to fill their cup, as Heather referred to. So it's really comprehensive and happens on a very regular basis.
As comprehensive as it is, it's hard to make the case that it's enough at this point. But that's not because of the systems, or it's not because of the nurses. It's because of the environment that we currently find ourselves in. It would seem to me that this would be a call for that. I'm wondering, what can we do to help our healthcare workers, our frontline workers, and the things that keep coming up in my mind? And please tell me if I'm missing something or I'm wrong. Social distancing, wash your hands, and wear a mask. That's what I can do.
Yes, absolutely. And I know folks get tired of hearing it, but it's so, so important that we continue to be energized and not move to that fatigue we keep hearing related to all of those things you just mentioned. The other thing I'd add to that is get your flu vaccination. It's very important. If we have a significant surge in flu during the flu season, it's going to be one more stressor on the healthcare system.
Right. Charlotte Bainan is the Chief Operating Officer for Bell & Health in Green Bay. Our other guest this morning, Heather Shimmers from Ascension, Wisconsin, overseeing 6,000 nurses. And we take your call, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Have you been diagnosed with COVID-19? Did you get treated at the hospital? What was your experience like? Have you been to the hospital recently for something other than this pandemic? And what did you see? And frontline healthcare workers, what would you like us to know as we go forward? 1-800-642-1234. Shifting our focus for a moment to long haulers, Heather Shimmers, Ascension, Wisconsin, recently opened an outpatient clinic in Oak Creek for long haul patients. How does this fill the need in the community?
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. This is just another example of how creative we've had to be in healthcare and establishing new ways to treat our patients as we are seeing the effects. So we, you know, as I mentioned earlier, we realize that not a single patient is following the same care plan. So the Ascension Medical Group put together a respiratory clinic and a long-term clinic where our patients that have lingering effects from COVID, not only just those patients that had some of the most serious issues that caused hospitalization, but also those with those mild and moderate symptoms that are just not going away. So we've heard lots of stories about continual respiratory issues. I'm sure you've seen in the news some of the cardiac issues from patients early on in the pandemic that they're experiencing, as well as some patients, as simple as it may sound, have not regained their sense of smell or taste. So we've got these long-term clinics that are opening. We plan to spread across the state. It's a multitude of different caregivers that are providing care there as they're building care plans. Pulmonologists, cardiology, neuroscience, behavioral health, which is an incredibly important component of care for these patients, and develop really unique plans for each individual patient. So we've got several patients that are already enrolled in this care, and we are planning to expand across the state.
Heather Shimmers here from Ascension, Wisconsin, serving patients from Racine all the way to Eagle River. Charlotte Bainan is also with us from Bell & Health. And looking forward to your call before we're done this morning about your experiences with our healthcare system and COVID-19 at 1-800-642-1234, especially if you are in the healthcare industry or have been tested positive for COVID-19. Still time for you this morning, and the conversation continues on the morning show. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. I have these pictures saved from earlier this spring, signs of solidarity, hung out for everybody to see, one read, and the world came together as the people stayed apart. Another said the whole world just walked inside and said we'll stop it all to protect our weaker ones, our sicker ones, our older ones, and nothing, nothing ever felt more like love than this. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn. There was also a sign in my neighborhood from a young girl named Rachel offering to make anyone who needed one a mask. Sign's still there, actually, just faded and worn from the last 8 months, and who can't relate to that right now? To Rachel's battered old sign, or her very best and kindest intentions. According to public health experts and epidemiologists, our kindest intentions can actually save lives and protect our healthcare workers and their families. They are our focus this hour, and I invite you to join us at 1-800-642-1234. Our guests, Heather Shimmers, Chief Nursing Officer for Ascension Wisconsin, and Charlotte Bainan, Chief Operating Officer for Bell and Health in Green Bay. And you, Laura, in Milwaukee, you're on the morning show. Good morning.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
Well, I just had a comment for you guys. I am an intensive care unit nurse in the Milwaukee area at one of the major hospitals, and I've been working on our COVID unit since the start of the pandemic. A few of your guests have mentioned some of the things they're trying to do for nurses, but I really just wanted to stress that some of those things really don't reach the nurses, and it doesn't end up being enough. You know, working in the position that I am, it's hard to even find a 30 second to take a bathroom break in the midst of it all, much less, you know, have time to sit in a room quietly for a little while, or much less get something to eat. So I really just wanted to plead to everyone to, you know, please stay home. Please wear your mask. Do what you can to stop the spread.
How are you, Laura?
Oh, I'm stressed. It's been a rough year.
Do you ask yourself, like, how long am I going to be able to put up with this? What's it like when you go into work in the morning? What are you thinking?
It's constant. I get a lot of anxiety just thinking about going to work. I've seen a lot of people die. I've had situations where an IV infusion gets an air bubble in it, so it pauses, and by the time you get in the room, your patient is coding, and I've seen people pass away from that. Yeah. So it's just an intense stressor to have to go through.
Well, thank you for being there, and the only thing we can do is our kindest intentions, which can actually save lives and protect our healthcare workers and their family. Heather Shimmers is a chief nursing officer for Ascension Wisconsin. Does Laura's report sound familiar?
Yeah, thank you, Laura, first of all, for calling in. And I think that's it. And I hope everybody listening heard the tone in her voice. And that is what I get to hear every single day. So I agree with you, Laura. Everything that we are frantically trying to do in our healthcare systems to get help to the frontline nurses is just not enough. So I think my plea is very much the same as hers and what you've also stated. This is not just a hospital issue. This is really a community issue. Our health systems, we cannot solve this by ourselves. We're not able to do this. We need you to trust us. We're going to take care of you when you're sick. We always have. But I think the greatest thing that I'm just asking you is to trust me when I say I need the community to take this seriously and help stop this spread in our state. And it's simple. It's so simple. Just wash your hands, maintain social distance, stay home if you're ill. Even if you think you just have a cold or allergies, please stay home until you're feeling better. And of course, wear your mask. Wear your mask. Wear your mask.
Charlotte, do you hear the tone in Laura's voice in your employees at Bell & Health?
Yes, we absolutely do. Sadly, you know, Laura's story and experience isn't unique, and it's what we're seeing, I think, everywhere. Just being able to support the nursing staff with their basic needs is challenging, just based on everything that Laura shared. And I echo Heather's plea. It's a community issue. And while we can do everything we can internally within our systems, the continued stress of the spread in the community will continue to put great burden. And we will hear more and more stories like Laura's throughout the months to come. So please, please do what you can to stop the spread.
And as we started the interview, Charlotte, it sounds like all healthcare systems are ramping up for an increase in COVID cases following the travel we've seen over this past weekend. So things like hospitalizations are lagging indicators. Things like deaths from COVID-19 are lagging indicators. But wouldn't travel be considered a leading indicator?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we do some internal, you know, modeling to say based on, you know, a holiday or a community event, what do we expect to see in the weeks and months to come? And we review that weekly, just in anticipation of what we might see. And that is really critical. And we will obviously this week take a look at that data and incorporate Thanksgiving into that and see what that looks like in the next, 2 to 3 weeks as we move into December.
Charlotte Bannon, COO from Bell & Health in Green Bay, along with Heather Shimmers, our guest from Ascension, Wisconsin, and you as well at 1-800-642-1234, where Jane in Suamico is waiting. Jane, you're on the morning show. Good morning.
Good morning. Our family typically hosts about 25 people for Thanksgiving, and this year we did a toast at 10 to 5, which is our happy hour, and we had about 18 different family group members come in on the call, and one of them was a niece who's a nurse and in a unit that cares for COVID people, and she was dressed in her PPE other than her mask and talked about how people who are in ICU are still refusing to believe it's COVID they have. They say it's something else, or they just won't accept the diagnosis and won't accept what's happening to them. And it was pretty striking for all of us who were watching.
Geez, Jane, I have heard that story before, and it sounded to me like it was hard to believe that somebody would use their dying breath to deny their own cause of death. But you had a nurse you talked to, a family member for Thanksgiving on a call, and a host who said as much. And I'd be curious to know from Charlotte and Heather, are we seeing this here as well? Are people dying from something they refuse to believe in?
Yes, we do hear that as well. Unfortunately, a lot of folks still are in denial when they're critically ill related to their diagnosis. And that's really, really, really hard on our staff as well. We talk frequently with our staff and, their experience walking through the COVID unit, either the ICU or the medical COVID unit, saying, as I go bed to bed, I've realized that a number of these folks wouldn't have been here if they would have taken the precautions and understood that COVID is real. And it wears on them as they hear that. But it definitely is out there that people don't believe it.
Heather?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I actually was out rounding last week with some of our frontline nurses, and I had a nurse say to me, it's very difficult. And she said, I'm actually starting to feel jaded because she is hearing that very comment that was shared, that people are in a bit of denial about the disease and that COVID is actually real. So, the long and the short of it, it is not my place and my responsibility to comment on, people's beliefs. We are there to treat the patients and the disease that's there. But we do know the very simple mitigation strategies that are out that are scientifically proven to work. And we just need to keep pleading to our communities to please listen and help us with that.
You asked us to trust you earlier, Heather, and of course you're going to trust a nurse, and of course you're going to trust the science. At least you would hope so. Our division of labor in a capitalist economy demands that you trust the experts, and that a politician isn't necessarily an epidemiologist for that matter, and perhaps the epidemiologist may know best, and perhaps they're the ones to trust when it comes time to believe in something. And that belief may be the difference between life or death. For our healthcare workers, thank you for your service, and I hope we do better on your behalf going forward and doing what we can to control this. Heather, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and Charlotte, thank you as well.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Heather Shimmers, Chief Nursing Officer for Ascension Wisconsin, Charlotte Bannon, Chief Operating Officer for Bell & Health in Green Bay. She's also the member of the Incident Command Team with Bell & Health, and I want to thank you both for joining me and you as well. 1A is coming up next here on the Ideas Network. Kate Archer Kent returns tomorrow. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.